This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
The second, الضرب الثاني, الوتر. The second, الضرب الثاني, the second category is the Salat al-Witr. The Salat al-Witr. ووقته ما بين صلاة العشاء والفجر. And the timing of Witr is between the Salat of Isha and the Salat of Fajr. Between Isha and Fajr. What this means, therefore, is that Witr can be prayed at any time after the timing of Isha, not after you pray Isha. So when you're traveling and you pray Maghrib and Isha early, then according to our author, you're not allowed to pray Witr. Because, why not? It's not Isha timing yet. Okay, and this is one opinion, and the other opinion is that whenever you pray Isha up until Fajr, and inshallah al-amru wasi', whatever you do, but according to our author, according to our textbook, the timing of Witr is after the timing of Isha, not after you pray Isha. So if you happen to pray Isha early, you're not allowed to pray Witr, because the timing of Witr is independent of when you prayed Isha. It is after the timing of Isha up until the timing of Fajr. Now, Witr, one of the big confusions when it comes to Salat al-Witr is that people get confused what exactly is Witr. And the books of Hadith and the books of Fiqh seem to use them interchangeably with Salat al-Tahajjud and Salat al-Layl. And the fact of the matter is, the Salat al-Witr, in some Ahadith, it implies Tahajjud. So for example, our Prophet ﷺ said, أَوْتِرُوا يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ. Pray the witr, O people of the Qur'an. And the meaning of pray the witr in this hadith is pray Salat al-Tahajjud. So he called witr Tahajjud and Tahajjud witr. Okay? And hadith of Abu Huraira, that the Prophet ﷺ commanded me to pray witr before I go to sleep. And the meaning of witr here as well is the Tahajjud. That Abu Huraira, in his early years, was not in the habit of waking up at the end of the night for Tahajjud. So he would pray Tahajjud before he went to sleep. And he would pray the whole Tahajjud, and then finish with Witr, and then he would go to sleep. So he called Tahajjud Witr. Why is Tahajjud called Witr? Because in total, Tahajjud would be odd or even? Odd. And it is finished by Salat al-Witr. So some ahadith mention Witr as being synonymous with Tahajjud, and that is valid, and that's correct. And sometimes the term Witr is used exclusively for the concluding bit of Salat al-Tahajjud, which can be independent of Tahajjud. Is that clear? The concluding odd number of raka'at, which can be independent of Salat al-Tahajjud, sometimes the ahadith and the books of fiqh use Witr, and they mean the separate prayer. So in our Taraweeh, we pray 8 raka'at, and then the imam stands and says, Salatul Witr. And then he prays a separate prayer. Okay? So right now, Ibn Qudama is talking about the separate Witr, not the full, excuse me. Right now, Ibn Qudama is talking about the total Witr, which is the Tahajjud. However, some books of fiqh, when they say Salatul Witr, they mean separate from Tahajjud. So you need to understand, and this is confusing because the same term, Witr, is used for both prayers. Why? Because you finish Tahajjud with the Witr. And the perfect Witr occurs when? After Tahajjud. Okay? So because of this, books of fiqh and books of hadith sometimes use them interchangeably. And this is why it is confusing to the beginning student that when the hadith says witr, what does it mean? When the fiqh book says witr, what does it mean? You need to understand by context. You need to understand by context. And a hadith sometimes do use witr to imply only the ending. So for example, and it is mentioned in your own text, that our Prophet ﷺ said, صَلَاتُ اللَّيْلِ مَثْنَى مَثْنَى, that praying at night is 2-2, then when you think it's about to be fajr, pray the witr. So here even the Prophet ﷺ, he is using witr in what sense? Separate sense. Okay? We're getting there. So the point being that the term witr is sometimes used for the whole package of tahajjud and the concluding. And sometimes it is used for only the separate witr salah. And which author uses it and which hadith uses it when, you need to basically scratch the surface a little bit and understand. So Ibn Qudama says, وَأَقَلُّهُ رَكْعَةً وَأَكْثَرُهُ إِحْدَى عَشَرَةً وَأَدْنَى الْكَمَالِ ثَلَاثٌ بِتَسْلِيمَتَيْنِ. Okay? وَيَقْنُتُ فِي الثَّالِثِ بَعْدُ رُكُوعٍ. So, the least number of rak'at for witr is 1 rak'ah. And the most is 11. And the least that would be considered perfect is 3. That is divided by 2 taslims, i.e. ash-shafa' wal-witr, 2-1. Okay? So, Ibn Qudama mentions that if somebody were to just pray 1 rak'ah, it will constitute a type of witr. And this is the bare minimum of witr, because where do we get this from? Because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told that companion that the night prayer is 2-2, and when you think it's about to be dawn, then finish it with the one witr. So, by itself. So this is an explicit hadith that the one who's praying tahajjud, he's praying 2-2-2-2-2-2, then when he thinks it's about to be fajr, he is allowed to pray 1 to conclude all of that. Nonetheless, this praying 1 is not considered to be kamal. It is considered to be shortchanging. It's considered to be very lazy. You're not sinful. You can't be sinful. It's not fard in the first place. And again, this is the Hanbali, Shafi'i, and Maliki. All the Hanafis know that witr is indeed wajib in their madhab, right? But the other three do not have it as obligatory. And they have many evidences, by the way. And I quoted some of them the other time, that you are not sinful, even for abandoning the 2 rak'at of fajr, you're not sinful. But as Imam Ahmad said, I don't think any mu'min can give up witr. Like, how can any mu'min not pray witr? Okay? So the one who has iman here, he's not saying like the kafir, but like iman as a positive characteristic, i.e. Islam, iman, ihsan, right? How can anybody who's like not a fasiq, how can anybody who's little bit of taqwa in his heart, how can that person not pray witr? And in fact, according to some madhabs, the one who does not pray witr, his testimony will not be accepted in a court because he's not trustworthy. Like his iman is so low, you're not going to accept his testimony. Now that's a bit harsh maybe, but in any case, the point is that we should not trivialize. And I need to mention a point here that was mentioned to me by one of my own teachers, Sheikh Shanqiti, Allah irhamu, Allah yahfadhu, excuse me, that he said sometimes knowledge backfires on the one who learns it. In that, when he learns that a habit of his that he was regularly doing is sunnah and not wajib, he might abandon that habit, even though it was his regular habit. And for his case, it was better for him to remain ignorant in that case, because the knowledge did not benefit him. So the knowledge is supposed to benefit, and the minute that it's not benefiting, then ignorance would have been better, which means you haven't understood the benefit of knowledge here. Okay? And this is a classic point here that every student of knowledge, a lot of times, so for example, once you find out the one with it is okay, so if you want to jump on this immediately and tonight, khalas, for the rest of your life, one rak'a witr, so then you've lost the purpose of gaining knowledge. Okay? The point is to understand, technically speaking, legally speaking, one rak'a of witr would be ja'iz. But it is not recommended. In fact, as he himself said, أَدْنَى الْكَمَالِ ثَلَاثٌ. The minimum of having a perfect witr is 3. And alhamdulillah, this is the norm that Muslims understand. Right? Around the globe, all the madhahib, they understand that three is what witr is. Okay? But one is ja'iz. And it is not ideal. And you are naqis. You're going to be somewhat deficient, but it will be considered to be acceptable in the eyes of the sharia. So, وَأَقَلُّهُ رَكْعَةً وَأَكْثَرُهُ إِحْدَى عَشَرَةً. And the most is 11. The most is 11. And this is based on the hadith of Aisha that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never prayed more than 11 raka'at at night. Okay, he never prayed more than 11 raka'at at night. And this is the habit that we as well do here in many other masajid, that the total that we pray is 11 raka'at. Okay, so 2, 2, 2, 2, and then we pray the 3 witr. 2, 2, 2, 2, and then we pray the 3 witr. And it is also narrated that the Prophet prayed 4, 4, and 3. So 4 with one taslim, and then 4 with another taslim, and then 3. And it is even narrated that once he prayed all 8 with one taslim, and then 3. So in tahajjud and in qiyamul layl and in taraweeh, and we said many, many, many times, tahajjud and qiyamul layl and taraweeh are the same thing, except that in Ramadan we will call tahajjud taraweeh. Okay? So tahajjud and qiyamul layl and taraweeh are the same concept, but there's some minor ikhtilaf, and that is that, not ikhtilaf, change, and that is that, especially in Ramadan, qiyamul layl is sunnah to do in jama'ah. That's the only difference. Is that clear? In Ramadan, tahajjud or qiyamul layl, same thing, tahajjud and qiyamul layl, it becomes sunnah. Outside of Ramadan, it is sunnah to pray individual. And you are allowed to pray together. Tahajjud. So if tonight we want to do tahajjud here in MIC, and we announced 3 a.m. we're going to have tahajjud, this is completely jaiz. Nothing wrong. But the sunnah is what? You pray by yourself. Whereas in Ramadan, the sunnah, or the more encouraged thing to do for tahajjud, is to pray it in jama'ah, and we then call it taraweeh. Okay? We then call it salatul taraweeh. This is the only difference. Otherwise, all of the ahadith about tahajjud and qiyamul layl and witr, they apply to basically the same concept, and that is the prayer between fajr, sorry, between Isha and Fajr. Okay? Between Isha and Fajr. So, the least number of raka'at is 1, the most is 11, and the least that will be considered perfect is 3 divided by 2 taslims. Now, this is the Hanbali madhab. Of course, the Hanafi is the opposite of this. The Hanbali madhab says that it is makruh. It is not nice, it's not recommended to pray witr with one taslim and you sit down in the second and then you stand up without taslim. Why? Because they say you then make it look like Maghrib. And there are traditions where the Prophet ﷺ said, don't make witr like Maghrib. Now, the Hanafis don't view these traditions as authentic, and then they say 3 raka'ah should have the 2 jalsa in the middle, so they will make it like Maghrib. That's a Hanafi madhab, no problem. Whoever follows it, they may follow it. For the Hanbalis, and the majority even, the witr should not be like Maghrib. Witr should be a separate characteristic as Maghrib, and therefore he explicitly says that he should have 3 raka'ah with 2 taslims. So you say the taslim, which is how we usually do it here at MIC, and it is also allowed to have 3 raka'at with 1 taslim. And this is authentically narrated as well. So what we learn is that the night prayer of the Prophet ﷺ was varied. It was not the same. And in fact, in this is benefit in that some variety makes you concentrate and makes you think differently as well. Okay, so sometimes it'll be 4-4, sometimes 2-2-2, sometimes all 8. And so this would, it's a little bit of variety makes your mind more concentrating in the salat that you are doing. And according to the Hanbali madhab, وَيَقُنُتُ فِي الثَّالِثَةِ بَعْدَ الرُّكُوعِ, and he does qunut, dua al-qunut, in the 3rd raka'ah after the ruku'. He does salat al-qunut or dua al-qunut after the ruku' in the 3rd raka'ah. Now, dua al-qunut is the subject of quite a lot of ikhtilaf amongst the madhahib, and each madhab has its own understanding. And I mentioned the issue of Dua al-Qunut before many times. And the Shafi'is have Qunut. When do they have Qunut? After Fajr. In the Fajr Salah. In the Fajr of the second Raka'ah. Right? The Hanafis are shocked at this. Every Salatul Fajr in a Shafi'i Masjid, they will have Qunut. It is common to have Qunut in Salatul Fajr in the Arab world. Okay? In Egypt, they do it. So, and in Palestine, they do it. They do it like every Fajr in the Masjid. And in Syria as well. How long is the Qunut? Just like, just Allahumma adina fi man hadayt, just like that, huh? Okay. Okay. In Fajr. So the Maliki Madhab has riwayat, so he's probably following the one that says at Fajr time. Okay? The Shafi'is, he's Maliki. The Imam Hamza is Maliki. So, but the Shafi'i Madhab says Fajr Salah. They don't have it in the Qunut. They don't have it in Witr. The Hanafis and Hanbalis, they have it when? In Witr. The Hanafis and Hanbalis, they have it in the Salatul Witr. Okay? And the Hanafis have it before the Rukur. And the Hanbalis have it after the Rukur. So in reality, all four Madahib have their own interpretations of Qunut. And whichever you follow, inshallah, it is fine. And we are sticking with the text. So we say that the Hanbali Madhab says that it is in the third Raka'ah of the Qunut, of the Witr, after the Rukur. Okay? Me personally, I am generally a Hanbali, but at times when I find the evidence to be stronger, I personally follow another position. And in Qunut, my position is that that Qunut is not linked with any salah, and rather it is linked with circumstances. And so you do Qunut in any salah because of something happening in the ummah, and it is not a regular dua. So the Prophet ﷺ would not regularly make Qunut. He would not regularly make Qunut. Rather, he would make Qunut when something happened. So, and this is, I have to be honest, it is a sunnah that unfortunately is abandoned. It is true. So we should make Qunut right now for our brothers in Palestine. Okay? We should make Qunuts every few weeks for Syria. Like this. This would be sunnah. This is, and if you look at the seerah as well, when we did it after the incident of the massacre, that took place of Mu'ta and the other massacres that took place, the Prophet ﷺ did Qunut for 1 month. Okay, so Qunut is not linked with a prayer. So the Madahib looked at these ahadith and they said, oh, he did Qunut in Fajr, we'll make it in Fajr. Oh, he did Qunut, but the reality is he wasn't regularly praying Qunut. Nonetheless, whoever wants to do Qunut regularly, that is fine. And a number of du'as are mentioned. Of them is the famous one, Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastahdika wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natubu alayk wa natawakkalu alayk wa nuthni alayka khayra kullahu nashkuruka wa la nakfuruk wa nakhla ma yutrukuk. This is mentioned in a hadith. This dua is mentioned in the hadith. And the other one that we say, Allahumma adina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barikna fi ma atayt. This is also mentioned in another hadith. And what we hear in Ramadan, the regular du'as that the imam, myself and others give, actually most of them are cut and pasted from a hadith. And that's why we say it regularly, because it is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nonetheless, whoever is following the madhab, so they will then do qunut after the third raka'ah. After the third raka'ah, after the ruku' of the third raka'ah. Okay, so this is the second category of the five categories of the tatawwu' prayers. Okay, number one was ratib, number two is salatul witr.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تَعْصِينِي وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنَ الْعَتَبِ وَتُخْفِي الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي وَتَأْبَى فِي الْهَوَى قُرْبِي فَتُبْ مِمَّا جَنَيْتَ عَسَى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.